Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome, everyone, back to the Brocast. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the 24/7 Sports Network, and I am joined on this fine Friday by Tracy Pearson. Tracy, how are you?
Hey, Dave. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
That's fantastic.
We're following the transfer portal. And is there anything more enjoyable? Anything more?
You don't
fun?
Want to talk about earwax. You're just jumping right in, Dave. Nothing. Okay.
Sorry. This is going to be a focus show, Tracy. Okay. This one's going to be locked in because we've got so damn much to discuss.
What'd you think of Dune 2?
Dune 2. I thought my initial thing was I don't really understand the hype. I thought the first movie was far better.
Really?
I think the second one. So I read the book. Have you read the book?
35 years ago?
Yeah. I reread it recently-ish, like within the last 10 years. And what I found was that in the second movie, they were trying to jump from plot point to plot point to plot point to plot point and trying to, it was so heavy-handed with the theme it was trying to hit that it didn't get that Dune is also, on top of everything else, a ripping yarn. Like, it's a really good adventure story.
Are we in some pub in 1845? Yeah, well, this is a ripping yarn.
It's a ripping yarn. And the thing with that movie was it was trying so heavy-handedly to tell you, oh, no, the hero of this story is actually, you know, trending towards evil by the end, and it's going to get very bad. And that theme was just like, well, okay, but you're missing the part that this is also like a it's a complicated story because it's also this redemption story. It's also this revenge story. It's also all these other things. And they have him kill the Baron Harkonnen as like this afterthought situation. And it's just,
man,
all this
one question and I got you going.
Well, I thought the first movie was really good. I thought they did a really, really good job with it. I thought they satisfied both components of it, nailing the themes while also making it like an epic story that's also very not inspiring, but you know, like kind of exhilarating in that way. I didn't think the second one did that.
I got three things to say. First, sure. I only saw the first one, didn't see the second one. My son saw both and he goes, it's just more sand. That was his first reaction, and he read the book too. Secondly, Zendaya is actually in this one. She was only in like what, half an hour? Thirdly, you have to be, because you're a Star Wars guy, that Star Wars just completely ripped off Dune, right?
Totally. And yeah, that's okay. Admitted. That's canon. Yeah. It was a ripoff of Dune and Seven Samurai or whatever.
Wow.
Not Seven Samurai,
I read an article about the parallels, and it really is uncanny. You forget about a lot. Anyway, yeah. Okay, let's do Transfer Portal.
Austin Butler was really good, though. All right, okay. On to the Transfer Portal. So
Masters of the Air was really good too. Sorry.
I haven't seen it yet.
Austin Butler. It was really good.
Wow. We've just annoyed the hell out of everyone.
Let's keep going.
Yeah. I thought the Pacific was better than Band of Brothers.
Oh, damn.
Where does Masters of Air fit into that?
It really gets better and better as it gets in deeper. It just keeps getting, it gets heavier and just more. And it was good. And based on a true story, true characters.
Walking into it, my problem with it is basically, I have feelings about the bomber groups that like bombed Dresden and stuff, where it's like, is this really good? Is this a good thing? And so it doesn't quite have the same, like, oh, they're just in the thick of it as Pacific and Band of Brothers.
When I was a kid, I was into model airplanes and B-17s and all of that. That was my jam. So I was really into the whole, I don't even want to know how they did all the plane work and how the interior and the, okay. We're annoying a lot of
people.
Was it
ripping yarn?
It was a ripping yarn, I'd have to say. Yeah.
Okay. Basketball. Basketball is in the midst of its roster construction for next year. As we've talked about, a lot of NIL to play with. And they're hosting a big, kind of very long official visit weekend that began this morning.
Well, no one can know this, though, Dave. It's very secret. So this is everyone who hears this. I mean, you can't tell anyone.
Don't tell anyone.
And we're going to put this, we're going to make this VIP too. So that protects it so
much. It protects it so much. It's not like it goes out on iTunes or anything. Tyler Bilodeau, the Oregon State power forward, is going to be on his official, was on his official visit right now, started this morning. And that's going to go through Sunday. We'll talk about him, but I want to set the stage that Eric Daly, then the Oklahoma State, the other OSU, two OSU power forwards coming in this weekend. Eric Daly, who actually played, I looked way more into him since the last time we spoke. He played basically every position for the Cowboys this year. Like, he played some guard at times. He also played some center in small ball situations. He's coming in on his official visit beginning Sunday, and that's stretching through Tuesday. Are they going to like shake hands and like as one boards the plane, the other one gets off the plane?
No, there's like, I think there's like a 5 or 6 hour gap in between.
Right.
Yeah.
Where they just point at each other like the Spider-Man meme.
They might, you know, if a plane's delayed or gets in early, they might walk by each other in LAX, but yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah. Are they both power forwards? Sure. Is UCLA trying to recruit him and not tell one about the other one? Well, absolutely not. That's just silly.
Right.
You pitch them you got to tell them the truth. You can't, it's not like, hey, we're not really recruiting anyone else. And you got to say how they would fit in. I mean, Eric Daly, like you said, we're going to use you in so many ways, depending on matchups. I've watched a lot of him too. He can guard a three.
Yeah.
If you went a smaller lineup and Bilodeau was at the five, Bilodeau would be able to defend bigger, smaller fives. Daly could play. I mean, just imagine what you could do with that. Daly's. Let's say you go. Let's do it the way I was first starting. Adai Mara is in your post. Tyler Bilodeau is your four. Daly is your three. Kobe Johnson's your two. Dang, that's a really big, long team.
Yeah.
Right. Then you can go small with Bilodeau in the post. Daly at the four. Right. So there are a lot of ways you can throw the bodies out there, and they'll match up with other teams. Tyler Bilodeau, I mean, you have to be, or Daly, you have to be saying you're going to be playing along another great player that's only going to enhance the chances of the team to win, which increases your own profile. I don't necessarily think it would cut that much into their playing time. I still think they would get a lot of playing time, and they have to know who else UCLA is recruiting and how that would fit into their own situation.
Yeah, and so just setting the stage, Daly just got a crystal ball from 247's Travis Branham. And as we've said, UCLA is doing very well with him. But Tyler Bilodeau is not at that point. So that's still, you know.
I mean, I wrote that update and I said, you know, they have a commitment from Sky Clark, from Kobe Johnson, and wink, wink, Dominic Harris and Eric Daly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can pretty much, there'd have to be something that really happened for that not to happen.
Correct.
No, Tyler Bilodeau is by no means a slam dunk. He is, I think Washington is still a big consideration for him. But here's another thing you can't tell anyone. UCLA's got a lot of NIL money now. So you can go to UCLA and make a good amount of NIL money. That's a pretty convincing pitch.
I thought it was very interesting, that story in 247 that said Kansas had the most NIL last year with $4 million. I thought that was just very interesting. Apropos of nothing, I thought that was very interesting. Tracy.
What I thought was interesting, too, was that after so many years of us doing this, Dave, then you get some posters on the board that believe that story, which was for the 2023-2024 season to begin with. But they believe that story more over us. Like, you and I are so homer that we are just jumping to conclusions. And then some other guys go, you know, they got connections into the NIL. They might actually know. So, yeah, I think we don't know the NIL situations for every single program.
No.
I do know pretty close to the NIL situations for, I'd say, most of the top 10 to 15 programs in the country. And I will say, yes, UCLA is highly competitive.
Do you know who UCLA beat for Kobe Johnson? Kansas, which had the most NIL money last year at $4 million, apparently, according to that story.
And Oregon.
And Oregon, which, as we all know, Oregon, a poverty program. They don't have any money. Anyway, that was just an interesting story. It was also interesting that it said 2 to 3 million was top 10-ish last year. Very interesting information.
Yeah, I don't trust that story.
I don't trust it entirely.
I trust us more than I trust that. I don't think two to three million was top 10.
No, I think it was a little bit lowballing. Yeah. But anyway, in good shape, we'll say that. Let's have fun.
Should we think about transfer posts before?
Well, I want to have fun with that, but I want to kind of set the lineup stage because we want to talk about what's missing. So as we just said, you can definitely play Daly and Bilodeau alongside each other. At the very least, you can pitch them on that. Like, and it makes some sense. Daly can probably guard a three. Bilodeau's, you know, kind of a true four, but he's got some move around. You can play him at the five and small ball. You could probably play Daly at the five and small ball. You could kind of mix and match, do different things. You could play some five out. There's a lot you can do. Kobe Johnson has versatility. He can play the two, can play the three, can probably also play some small ball four in certain situations. You got Dylan Andrews. You got a lot of pieces. But what's the missing piece? Because Adai Mara, you mentioned him as, you know, throw him in there at the post. He's 7'3". He'll probably be better next year. He was already getting better at the end of this past year. I'm sure development will take him, you know, slowly on his climb. But probably not ideal to have him be your, you know, 25-minute a game post. What's missing here?
Well, first off, Dan Bilodeau was missing because he left.
Yeah.
What's
missing is a huge Adem Bona-sized hole.
Yeah, just to touch on that. I mean, I know everyone wants to condemn the kid a bit just because, we'll just say it, bad decision. Really, really bad decision. But, I mean, he could make a lot more money at UCLA than he probably will make with his two-way contract in the NBA. But you can't – these kids – I'm telling you, the five stars, their one and done mentality is so deeply ingrained. They can't get out of it. They literally feel like a failure if they don't go one and done. And he's got an excuse because of the shoulder injury last year. So, you know, he's got family obligations. He has a lot of things on why he wants to go to the NBA or just feels that's what he is. You know, that's what he was destined to do after 1 year and he's already a year delayed. So, yes, an Adem Bona type. Now, what you would want is ideally, I think, let's say you get Bilodeau, you would want first a big post, big, strong, tough, set screens, who can beat up people physically, mentally tough, a rebounder, Bilodeau, decent rebounder, not great. Daly will probably end up being a very good rebounder. But a great rebounding post, shot blocker, right? You don't necessarily, if you get Bilodeau who's scoring in the post, Eric Daly who can score, you got scorers in your backcourt. That's the minimum of what you really, not minimum. I mean, that would go a long way to providing what you need from your post, from that other, those other post moments other than a Dimar. Yeah. So that's doable among transfer posts.
Well, and this is where I think being judicious, now that you're in the well-moneyed era, is in what you're acquiring, how these things fit together, how these pieces fit together, because you don't want to have a situation where you have too many cooks, where you've got too many people who are pretty good scorers who want to score the basketball, because in mixed system especially, I don't think that's ideal.
If Adembona came back with this personnel, he averaged 13 points a game last year. He would not average that probably.
Well, him or Tyler Bilodeau, who are you giving a post touch to?
Tyler Bilodeau all day.
Yeah. So I think for this team's purposes, making that big, not really like a finisher, like a rim runner for sure. But I'm thinking freshman year Adembona is who you want at that position. You don't need sophomore year Adembona. You need somebody who's pretty athletic. That'd be good. But like you said, rebounder, shot blocker, can finish a lob. That's it. That's all you really need at that five spot, because you're going to have scoring at the four if Bilodeau comes. You're going to have Daly. You're going to have Kobe Johnson. You're going to have you're going to have Dominic Harris shooting the ball off the bench. You're going to have Dylan Andrews, who's going to be a better scorer again as a junior than he was as a sophomore, and he was already getting pretty good at the end of the year. Sebastian Mack is still on the roster and not transferring anywhere as of now. There's plenty of scoring. Getting somebody who's a plus defender at that spot, who's also a rebounder, is the key.
Yeah. I talked about most of the potential posts, transfer posts that could be possibilities. Omar Ballo, the seven foot senior from Arizona. UCLA is not getting a lot of traction with him. Looks like he wants to go somewhere for not only NIL, but just to get a lot of touches so that the offense runs through him. And like I said, there might be some influences around Ballo that are kind of discouraging interest in UCLA. So I don't see that. I don't see anything developing there. Danny Wolf, the Yale post transfer. He's not going to go any further west than the Midwest. One really, even beyond UCLA's involvement, Clifford Amarui from Rutgers is going to be very, his recruitment is going to be interesting. I'm hearing he's going to release a list of like 16 programs next week. He's going to take at least five visits. Going to cost a good amount of NIL. UCLA should be in that. If they don't find a post transfer that they like before that, that's a good fit. They'll probably, you might as well hang in there. You go through this whole process and you say, hey, Cliff, here's our bag.
Yeah.
And he's got to at least take notice to be in. I heard that he likes California. So you got among those 16 programs, they could have a chance because of what they have going. I know UCLA is involved with Michigan Center transfer Terrace Reed, who's pretty good. Wide body, not greatly, greatly explosive off the court, but pretty skilled. I like him. He would fit in. He'd fit in pretty well. William Kyle is kind of a poor man's Bona in a way, visiting Kansas State, Iowa State, a few others. UCLA will probably still be in it for him. I don't know if they'll visit him in that. They could be over with by then. There's one other guy they're looking at. And I actually don't want to talk about that because I don't want to screw it up. So they have a lot of possibilities. And you know, we were talking off mic before. If you've got the NIL money for Tyler Billen, for all the guys who we say are committed, add Tyler Bilodeau, and you have the money for a post player like Cliff Amarouye. Do you use that NIL money, or do you bank it?
For me, I think it's use it. I think given so my whole thing on the roster building, I'm putting this out there. I didn't think you needed to get seven guys or whatever it's going to end up being, six, five, whatever it's going to be. I thought get three guys, retain most of your roster, develop. But they're going a different way. And if you're going that different way, you got to go fully that different way. You've got to build a team now that's going to compete for a title this year. And if you're going to go that way, that's the way it's got to be done, because now you've got to get the cascading returns. You got to get this money again. You got to get more money next year.
Yeah,
because a lot of these guys are going to be 1 year and then they're gone. So, but the question is it Amarouye or is it, does, here's my question. Is he too much of a cook for you in that theory of too many cooks? Does he?
Well for one thing, he transferred before last year. So he's a little bit, you know, I mean, he's not a guy, he's moved from program to program. And I mean, he should in this, I'm not looking down on it, but a little bit of a mercenary looking for some money. And I get it. He averaged 10.5 points and 8.3 rebounds at Rutgers. I mean, the offense did go through him a bit. You know, he had a lot of touches. I watched a whole game of his. 2.9 blocks too, a game, which is really freaky. I think that leads the country or led the country. But do you need that? Like what you said, Dave, what you're trying to say, and I think doing well, is you need to create a team, not just an all-star team.
Yeah.
So you would take Amarouye, but you would gladly take someone else who could just block shots, rebound, play defense, be physical.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially to counter a Daimara, right?
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, you want somebody who, look, if a Daimara develops, you want to play a Daimara. Like, you want to get him on the floor, because a Daimara has something that nobody we're talking about has, and that is he's 7'3". Having that kind of size center, if he's playable, is a game changer. Zach Edey being 7'4" or whatever carried a altogether pretty mediocre Purdue team to the championship game. If you've got a guy that big and who's skilled, and Adaimara certainly has skill, he just doesn't have strength, he doesn't have the development yet. But if he gets there, you want somebody that isn't going to force Adaimara to the bench, who's going to keep him on the bench if Mara's developing. So if there is a post out there who can block shots, rim run, rebound, but who's also not much of a scoring threat, who can basically just finish around the basket, that's not going to keep Adaimara nailed to the bench. But a guy like, and this is, again, maybe just me being a little too three-dimensional chess, but it's like, or five-dimensional. Three-dimensional is what it is, because it's in reality. Don't worry about it. Move on. Why do you keep asking me about it? Move on.
Hey, Dave, so...
Adaimara could develop into a guy this year who's worth playing there for 25 minutes a game by the end of the year, and you might want to maintain that possibility. I don't know if you're necessarily doing that with Amarouye.
Yeah. Looking at our little... I threw out a little updated potential depth chart. It's pretty exciting, though.
Oh, yeah.
And here's the thing, too. People are saying, we're replacing the entire... We need to develop players, bring them in. Cronin's a development guy. I mean, right now, as it stands, there's seven guys that came in as freshmen. So I think that whole balance, you know, 7 to 8 guys every year who came in as freshmen and are there multi-year. And you know, someone like Lazar Stefanovic is a program guy, even though he's a transfer. So I like the way this is constructed. I mean, we can break this down. Point guard, you've got Dylan Andrews, who really proved himself toward the end of the year. And you've got Sky Clark. I mean, those two for point guard duties, where you could also play them at the same time together. I mean, y'all have listened to this. I'm a big Dominic Harris fan from watching a few of his games. One of the best three-point shooters in the country. Older guy, been around a long time, strong, physical, experienced. I would love to see Sebastian Mack coming off the bench, which he should have, you know, UCLA had the type of team it probably should have last year. That's what he should have been doing.
Yeah.
Another year better coming off the bench. I think that's really great for his development.
Your second unit, like, scorer. I mean, yeah. his role would be so much better for him as a player coming off the bench.
And then Eric Freeney as a possibility also, because Eric Freeney can shoot. So that would be fun. Among the wings, I mean, Dominic Harris one is 6'3 to 6'4, so he can defend bigger guards. Kobe Johnson just plugs in there really well as one of the best defenders, you'd have to say, on the West Coast. Lazar Stefanovic, if he comes off the bench, that's ideal, right? He shot 39% from three. All glue guy, just puts everyone on the right page together. And then the front court, you know, of Mara, Eric Daly, Brandon Williams, you'd love to see him as a sophomore, possibly Tyler Bilodeau. If that all doesn't work, you know, Burke Big-Tunsil coming back as a sophomore. And then I think a key also is Devin Williams. Not only because, I mean, what UCLA team has gotten through the year without playing its third post first. And then Devin Williams can also play the four. So I think his versatility makes him fairly valuable. So I really like how this team would be constructed. And of course it's a matter of chemistry and putting it all together for Mick Cronin. But this would be a nice, pretty loaded team heading into the first year of the Big Ten.
Yeah. I mean, the crazy thing is, like, think about what's going on at the, like, 11 through 13 scholarship spots on this team versus last year's team. Like, just having it so that, I mean, who would you call the 13th guy in this group? Eric Freeney? Devin Probably. Williams?
Probably Eric Freeney, just because he's a true freshman.
Yeah, but, like, Kenneth Nwuba was the 12th guy. They didn't even have a 13th guy this past year.
Yeah.
It's going to be a, no matter how this shakes out at this point, it's going to be a significantly deeper team. And then the starters are going to be significantly more talented. Like the, and that's as it is right now without really even, like, if you just gave me the starting five you have right now, let's just say the top eight you have right now. Dylan Andrews, Dominic Harris, Kobe Johnson, Eric Daly, Adai Mara, Sky Clark, Sebastian Mack, Lazar Stefanovic. That top eight is a much, much, much better team. Much better.
Throw in Tyler Bilodeau,
and suddenly you're talking about a real contender. And that's without getting into another post. Like, if you play Tyler Bilodeau at the five, are you giving up some defensively? Almost definitely. You're giving up some rim protection. But on offense, you are able to go five out, and that creates matchup problems for the vast majority of teams. And in a way that's more playable than playing two fives like UCLA is trying to do to take advantage of size disadvantages. College ball, the best way to take advantage of disparities is going small, not going huge. And putting Tyler Bilodeau at the five, you can do that. I mean, honestly, the more I think about it, I'm like, well, they got through a Final Four with Cody Riley at the five, who was a little bit heavier than Bilodeau, but very similar statistical profiles, like not a rim protector, not a great rebounder, and they were able to do it. So you can do that too. And if you just add Bilodeau to that roster, that's a Big Ten contender. That's a team that should compete for a high seed in the NCAA tournament and be right back where UCLA should be under Mick Cronin. And then if you add a real five.
Yeah. And just a five who rebounds, blocks shots, plays defense.
Yeah. If you add that to all of what we're just talking about, I think you're going to have the most talented team Cronin's had ever, but certainly at UCLA. And that's exciting to think about.
Yeah. We have to talk about just one more potential addition. I threw it in at the end just to have fun with everyone.
Are they expanding the scholarship counts for this year?
There's a possibility that UCLA can end up with Harvard Westlake point guard Trent Perry also. He decommitted from USC. He's been looking around. There's enough influences around him that would love to have him at UCLA. We'll see, though. I mean, UCLA and Trent Perry originally went their separate ways semi-early in his recruitment, I'd say in summer, because he saw the writing on the wall when it came to playing time in the backcourt. It's only gotten more crowded, so there's still that issue. You know, and there's a question of whether Trent Perry is a Mick Cronin type.
Adembona has officially declared.
Yeah, there we go. So, yeah, but that'll be interesting to watch. And like, what we're not going to discuss it right here, but then there is the scholarship. There is the scholarship issue. If Trent Perry comes in, it's a trade, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And who are you trading? And that's the stuff. That's the part where I get a little bit, I get a little traditional with this stuff, which is, look, I mean, there were choices made, and you like jettisoning, because what would end up happening is likely one of the younger guys would get jettisoned in favor of Trent Perry if they opted to do that. And it's just like, I get icky about that, Tracy.
I mean, let's just be straight. There's only one guy. It can't be Eric Freeney. He signed a letter of intent. It's Sebastian Mack. So, I mean, I would personally, I mean, this is all fun stuff. I would personally rather have Sebastian Mack.
Yeah.
Who has played for Mick Cronin, has gone through the wars.
And has stuck it out now through how much of this transfer portal has he already stuck it out?
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, he's sticking it out with Sky Clark coming in, with Kobe Johnson coming in. Both of those guys are going to take minutes from him.
Dominic Harris,
who hasn't yet announced, but. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. But all those guys will take minutes from Sebastian Mack, and he's still hanging out. This is the thing I was saying at the beginning of January, but like when guys commit to you and they continue to commit to you and they're, you know, kind of showing that they're committed, you got to commit back to them. Like it's, especially if they've got ability. It's not like Sebastian Mack is some, you know, guy who's playing way above his head, playing way above his level. He's this level. He needs to refine. He needs to get better, but he just scored a bunch of points a game as a freshman, not really knowing what he was doing and being forced into a role that was way too big for him, and he did it. Next year, where he can take a step back, be a 22-minute-a-game guy and, you know, work on his shot a little bit more, I'd be excited about his potential. So I think that's where you got to kind of start pumping the brakes. You don't need to just keep acquiring, keep acquiring, keep acquiring. At some point it's okay. You've got your team set. Now it's about putting it together and making sure the chemistry fits.
Yes, Dave. I think we've done basketball.
I think we've done basketball. I still just want to talk about it though.
Yeah.
I do too. We've got more to talk about.
We got to talk about football. We're in the middle of spring practice.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to BOLL and Branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
We are in the middle.
You were just out yesterday.
Yeah. You know,
I'll tell you my overall impression after yours. Oh. Because it's going to be the same. Okay. And we have not discussed this, but it's going to be the same.
Okay. I don't think this team is very talented, and I'm not
sure it is
very good this year.
That's the overall impression when you watch practice. You go, there is a dearth of talent here.
And just so everyone knows, no fault of this coaching staff, no fault of anyone currently here, just not – I don't think it's going to be a very good team. And that's, as I've said, I just want to set expectations appropriately. We've been talking about this since before Chip Kelly, since just after he skipped town. There really shouldn't be expectations this year, not real ones. If they get to 6 wins, if they get to 7 wins, absolutely fantastic.
Hallelujah. Great.
You made a bowl game. That's awesome. But this team isn't going to be very good. Like watching the defense. Okay. We'll get to that in a second because transfer portal window will open and UCLA will have some key targets. But just watching this team, I mean, look, they're going to be learning an entirely new offense. And that is, I'm just eyeballing it through whatever it is now, 5 practices. That's going to come with some major growing pains because there's still some like real missed connections going on with the quarterbacks and the receivers and where things are supposed to be, how the blocking schemes are lining up. All of this stuff is in major work in progress territory. And that stuff doesn't often get completely figured out until deep into the first season. So there's that. Running back, I would say TJ Harden looks a step slow. I don't know if he added weight. I don't know if there's, you know, maybe some lingering issue or whatever, but he doesn't look quite like the guy we saw most of last season. I think receiver's good. I think offensive line is a mess. I think they have so many talent deficiencies that need to be corrected with years of recruiting or really, really productive transfer portal recruiting that just cannot be fixed at this point. Like they just need to kind of get through and take their lumps this year. But that's the offense. And then the defense, we've talked about this to death, but edge play, No idea, because you're taking a defensive tackle from last year. He's now going to be one of your starting edges, and you're taking a Navy edge, and he's going to be your other one. And they're supposed to, in some form or facet, replace the production of Leatu Latu, Gabriel and Grayson Murphy, Carl Jones, Jake Heimlicher, all those guys, three of whom are going to be playing in the NFL next year.
The story of the year is going to be Johns Hopkins edge. Luke Sherman comes in and gets 12... And I'm not, Luke, if you're out there listening, we are not disparaging you. We are Sherman fans, dude. You are going to come in and get 12 sacks on the season and be a star.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to name names because I think, look, the Navy edge has looked better than I thought he would. I'll say that. And Devin Apui has looked fine at the other edge. It's just they're not Leatu Latu and they're not Gabriel Murphy. And they're a big step back from those guys. Which
We wrote that story.
Yeah.
The number one pass rush in the country.
Yeah. It's not going to be
guys. Three guys were in the top 10 for pressures in the country.
Well, and Akaika Maloy talked about it yesterday, but he they're going to have to cheat. They're going to have to do more stuff to make a pass rush. Like, guys are going to have to step up, and he's talking about it. And he sounds great talking about it, but I think if you just read between the lines a little bit, they don't have as much talent.
There's two things about that. If he's saying that, he is inadvertently admitting they don't have pass rushing talent.
Well,
every time we've heard that in the past, Dave, what does that mean?
It means they're blitzing a ton and they're leaving the back end exposed and they have a bad defense.
Yeah.
It's just what it is. And that's, again, there's talent deficiencies. There just are. I would say linebacker looks good. I would say the linebacker play should be good. Defensive tackle, if nobody gets hurt.
Or leaves.
And Jay Toia yesterday, I was watching him closely, and he looks like such an NFL player. And I'm like, he can't leave.
It's crazy. I was looking at photos of him like in my photo archive. And I wanted to get a photo of Jay Toia just that we hadn't used. And I'm looking, and I looked at photos from even the beginning of last year or even last
spring. They don't work.
They don't. It's not the same player.
He has no bad weight anymore.
There is
no bad weight.
If I use that photo, you would feel like you were getting ripped off on this site because it does not look like him.
He was carrying a lot of bad tummy weight, and he's still carrying weight. He's a defensive tackle, but he is rocked out. Like, that guy looks like an NFL dude. Can't lose him. If you have him and Keanu Williams in the front, and you've got Femi and Kane Medrano behind them and the rest of that depth at linebacker, you've got an interior. Like, you've got an interior.
And Gary Smith comes back and can play.
And he looks, you know, he was making his strides, I think, yesterday. So you've got all that. And then safety, look, it's hard to tell in practice, really it is, with safety play. Brian Addison and Ramon Henderson, I would say, look fine. Like, they don't.
I'd say this, though. We've always said that, but then last spring, the safeties really stood out.
They did.
Kenny Churchwell.
And then they were very good.
And they were very good. And so that held true. This is the typical spring where the safeties, you can't really tell.
My general sense of it is edge play is going to be such a thing, like, it's going to be such a theme for the entire year that they don't really have edge play, that it's going to affect everything else. But I would still say the defense is not going to take, I don't think it's going to be a gigantic step back. I think it's going to be a step back, pretty substantial one. I think they're going to be middling. I don't think they're going to be horrible, but I think they're going to be middling. The problem is, I think this offense could be bad. Like, I think the offense could really struggle because I think it's just going to take so much time for Bieniemy to install his system and have it work with deficiencies on the offensive line.
See, that's funny. I think I'm gonna go opposite, Dave.
Go opposite, baby.
While the execution might be off execution wise offensively, they'll surprise a few people just because there isn't a lot. I mean, what are opposing teams gonna do? Look at Kansas City Chief film, clips. I mean. It's going to take Eric Bieniemy has the element of surprise on his side. It's going to take a good half season before there's enough on tape for people to actually be able to scout effectively the offense he puts on the field. By then, it might be clicking a little bit better. Plus, I think the running game will be okay. The running game was decent last year. I'm buying into what you've always said because it's held out to be so true. Without a pass rush, I just can't. There's going to be so much stress on the linebackers, and the interior defensive line, and the secondary. I just can't see it holding up. So we did a story. When did we do that story? Thursday, Dave, looking at what would be the transfer portal wish list. And it is long. I originally put one and two as pass rusher and pass rusher number two. You went to practice on Thursday and said, I'd like to flip that and put offensive lineman first.
Yeah.
It's arguable either way. It truly is. I mean, at least the offensive line has some guys who played last year and might incrementally get better. The edges have no one who's played the position.
Yeah, with Shea Bryant. Oh, we didn't even share the news. Shea Bryant Strother entering the transfer portal.
No one's played the position. I just, no matter how shocked you can be by the offensive line play in practice, and I get that was a gut immediate reaction, which sent you to the forum to say, or to your story, to say, I take it back. it's still an edge. At least, not, let's not even get greedy. Let's just say one edge, right? One edge.
One good edge.
And 10 sacks and 45 pressures on the season kind of thing. Right.
Yeah.
Then let's not get greedy, because if we just go overboard, it doesn't mean anything. Offensive line, a left tackle.
Yeah. They need Benjamin Roy back. I think I'd feel a lot better if Benjamin Roy was fully healthy and playing.
That is really weird too to me, because Benjamin Roy seemed like a little favored son, and I know it was the previous staff, but, and he surprised us because he's undersized, and we'd watch him in practice, in spring practice, and he was good.
Yeah.
It was hard to argue against him being good. He was good at guard. He was good at center. Now I know he's been hurt, but he doesn't figure in. Do you get that same impression? No one's really figuring him in.
What was interesting last year is we liked him a lot in spring, and then he really didn't factor into the depth, playable depth during the season to any great extent.
He got dinged up a little.
He got dinged up a little bit, but even before that, he wasn't like really one of their guys. And, you know, we would have thought coming out of spring last year, I think it was, that he would have been a potential starter at guard over Josh Carlin. And that,
or the heir apparent at center.
And neither came to fruition. So I don't know if there's like a difference of opinion. I don't know if actually Tim Drevno wasn't a huge fan, and we'll have to see what Juan Castillo thinks of him once he gets back fully healthy. But we both really liked him in practice, is I guess what we're getting at. And if you added him back to this group, I'd feel better about the interior. The problem is right now, it's just when you project injuries. Like when you think about, well, first, Sam Yoon, I haven't seen enough to think that's going to be a reasonable Pac-12 starter at center. Maybe he gets there, and maybe I just haven't seen enough this spring.
Big
but.
Time.
Not right now. Oh, yeah. But not right now. So that's a starter that I'm a little bit concerned about. But the guards I'm fine with. It's just go a single injury, and I don't know what you're playing with. And that's where it gets super funky on the interior. So I agree with you, a left tackle. But then I also think getting at least one more rotational interior lineman, I think, would be significant, even if it's not like this guy can come in and start immediately, but just somebody who can come in and play and not, you know, lose you a game.
Speaking of being one injury away, on our list of transfer portal wish list, we had quarterback up there too.
Yeah.
Because now, you know, we kind of were feeling, you know, kind of safe and secure about it. But now when you take Colin Schley out of this, it's so often too that this happens. Take one guy out and it's a ripple effect. Now you've got one guy who's really, I mean, I know one guy who has Power 5 real experience at playing, and that's Ethan Garbers. I mean, you can count Chase Griffin. I'm just not going to count him. Great kid, but I just, even though he has experience at, doesn't matter. Justin Martin has looked better. Can you really throw him into a game? And again, when's the last time UCLA went through a season without using its QB2? Yeah. Almost never. Dang, it needs a quarterback also. I mean, ideally would be a very talented kind of redshirt freshman redshirt sophomore who could be the backup and know he's going to replace Garbers next season or the season after, that he's the guy who would step in. But like that's really worrisome, right? If you're talking about not even close to getting to 6 wins, what happens if Ethan Garbers gets hurt?
Yeah.
And that's saying that Ethan Garbers is really good.
And he's been...
He's serviceable.
Well, and he's also been struggling a little bit so far in spring. Like he, and he's had spring struggles before. I don't think it's indicative of what he's going to look like in a game. I think he's, you know, everyone's got growing pains with a new offensive scheme. Guys figure it out at different
ways. Quarterbacks almost never look good in spring. They don't.
We've done this so many times. But yeah, I mean, Garbers is I think in his ideal world, he's an above average quarterback. Not, you know, not a world beater, not somebody who's going to be first team all Big Ten. See, I did it right. I did it right that time.
There you go. And then the secondary. Why don't you go off on this? Because this is you wrote this well in our joint piece.
So at cornerback, you've got Jalen Davies, who started last year, which is, I think you can lock him in as that's a Big Ten level starter. Okay. Devin Kirkwood has had a really up and down UCLA career. He got supplanted last year as a starter by Jalen Davies. And while he looked better at the end of the year, you're counting on him now to be a starter. And that's okay. You can talk me into that. But then behind them right now, here, let me get this pulled up. You have Jaden Marshall, who's a converted wide receiver, who's still in his first 12 months at cornerback. You've got Kanye Clark, who's a walk-on, who I actually think is pretty good, but he's a former walk-on who just awarded a scholarship this year. And then you've got two true freshmen, Jameer Benjamin and Christian Dunbar Hawkins. That is not a lot. That's not a lot of depth there. And just an FYI, I didn't see Croy Stewart at practice yesterday. He switched to safety, but he has cornerback potential. He wasn't there yesterday. So, I mean, looking at that, I think getting a guy who can at worst be a rotational corner, maybe slash nickel, but could also compete to push Devin Kirkwood back down the depth chart a spot would be huge. And that's at corner. At safety, you've got your starters, I think. I mean, they've been pretty consistent with having KJ Wallace at nickel, Ramon Henderson at safety, and Brian Addison at the other safety. And then DJ Justice, I think, is a more than credible backup nickel. In fact, he's looking, I've written this a couple of times, he's looking kind of nickel linebacker size these days. He's added some real strength. But you don't have anyone behind them. I mean, RJ Jones, haven't seen enough of him to say where he is in his development. But Zeke Thomas hasn't really shown a ton since coming in as a JC transfer last year. Clint Stevens
would be the first off the bench.
Would be the first off the bench, and he's played some threes this spring. He's, I mean, the development is just still taking a while there. Again, I think if they hadn't just taken three safety types, if you're counting the nickel, in the transfer portal in January, you'd probably want to take another one too, just to have a little bit more experienced playable depth. They just lack it at a lot of spots. And another one. Yeah.
I want to back up and just place some blame here. I know Chip Kelly was leaving town. I get it. But if Chip Kelly had put in and that's bad, and that caused what, Kamari Ramsey to leave. I'm sure that led to the Murphy twins deciding to leave. But if he had put in the time to raise a lot of NIL money, and Kamari Ramsey thinking, and I know he left to be with Danton Lynn, but, you know, money talks. If there was any way, just think about if you return those three guys or just one twin in a Kamari Ramsey.
Yeah, Grayson Murphy and Kamari Ramsey make this defense easily top half in the country, but probably better.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm speculating, but if you had a good amount of NIL money, you probably could have had a really good chance to convince those guys to stay.
And John Humphrey.
Yeah. So really, really disturbing. We also put on here running back, because that it's been disappointing to me. The best running back, the tailback, has easily been Keegan Jones. In the two practices I've been, he's shown, it's funny because we used to say he didn't have a good natural feel. He's shown the best instincts for running, the most explosion. He's looked a little fatigued and a little nicked up, which is a little worrisome. And this is all because TJ Harden, like I, it's a little strange. It's one of my biggest mysteries so far.
He lacks
that he doesn't look like the same guy.
Yeah.
That's a little worrisome. I think they could get they'd like to get a running back. That is playable.
And just for depth, even if you said TJ Harden's the same guy, so if they want to play a fullback, Anthony Adkins is basically their only one. I guess they could try Isaiah Carlson there too, but Anthony Adkins is the only one with any experience playing fullback since he came in from Army. But if you look at the depth chart, it's really thin now. You've got TJ Harden, who's an every down back. Keegan Jones, we like as an explosive threat, but he still isn't the size of an every down back. He's not even the size of Demetric Felton. So that's a problem if that's your number two. Deshaun Morrell has had two ACL surgeries. I don't know that you can count on him for anything. And that's just injury talking. We haven't seen him actually running and cutting in, I don't know, the better part of 2 years now. Isaiah Carlson looks better. He looks physically better. But he's a redshirt freshman who, you know, as recently as last spring, we were speculating could move to linebacker. They need another body here who can actually be counted on to shoulder the load at times. And, you know, if this is going to be anything like a traditional pro-style offense, they're going to need to run the ball, and they're going to need to run the ball in traditional ways. They need another body there.
And then the most potentially horrifying would be losing Jay Tuia.
Yeah, I can't even contemplate that one.
Yeah, the defense is looking very questionable right now. You lose him and then the dominoes fall.
Yeah.
And then it's really, really, really frightening.
Most important transfer portal thing is retaining
recruitment. Him. Yeah, it's retaining.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for the word.
Yeah. Yeah.
Transfer portal thing? What's the word?
Recruiting.
Is that what we cover here?
If we did a some kind of search of what is the word that we use the most other than, you know, well, it would be recruiting, and we both have blanked on it. That thing. And then I threw in tight end because, as you said, they're playing a lot of 12 personnel.
Yeah.
And you need two and they have three. But
you need four
if you're going to play two. So, and then we're not even talking about potential injuries, depth for
injury. Yeah, and at tight end, what I will say is it's clear that Michael Churich, the other walk-on, is getting a lot of snaps.
I added him to the depth chart.
Yeah, he's getting a ton of snaps right now, but I don't think in an ideal world. I mean, we've talked about the eight-headed monster of, like, huge 6'7", 6'8", guys that they had at tight end for a while there, and Church is basically the last one remaining of those walk-on groups. Sam Suma is still there, too.
Sam Suma, yeah.
Church is, he's, you know, I've seen him enough now that, like, can he play? Probably. Is he Hudson Habermill? No. And is he Greg Dulcich? Definitely not. Could he play in a pinch? Yeah, I don't think you're going to be, like,
blocking.
Oh God, how's that guy out there? But ideally you would have another scholarship tight end if you're going to play two like that pretty frequently.
Yeah. So, you know, it's going to be the transfer portal opens up Tuesday. It won't have the depth of talent that we saw from the football transfer portal that opened up after the season. So far though, there've been enough people who have gone into the transfer portal for any number of reasons that they're allowed to, or stories have that this guy intends to go in. There's a decent amount of talent so far.
Yeah.
So, you know, not really high top end, but solid guys that could help UCLA. There was a edge transfer from Indiana, Anthony Jones, who has an offer. I think it's UCLA, Cal, I can't remember the last one, but UCLA has a chance with him. I watched some tape of him. It seemed like he would probably be able to come in and really compete to start. I've heard some talk, some rumors out there that UCLA knows what it needs, obviously, in the transfer portal knows what it wants, and there's already been some potential transfers out there that are rumored that are being associated with UCLA. Can't talk about them just yet, but something to potentially be excited about. So yeah, that will all start happening on Tuesday. And then we have a 2-week run in both football and basketball transfer portal.
Pure portal, baby.
How
pure
much portaling. Fun. Seriously. In our time doing this, this is fun.
It's so much fun.
I would double it up.
I want to shout out Deshaun Foster and Akaika Malloy for being very open that they actually have specific ideas of what they want in the transfer portal. Like Deshaun Foster mentioning edge is definitely going to be one that they're looking for in the portal. Akaika Malloy was very frank in saying, we're going to try to build a pass rush, but we also need to, there's some things we want to upgrade with it. Getting a straight answer out of Chip Kelly on, like, even just generally, is there anything you're looking for in the transfer portal, was like pulling teeth. If those teeth were actually bound by titanium to the roof of his mouth, like, we could not ever get an answer out of him. And it's just like, it's obvious stuff, and it makes you sound very good if you're just saying, oh yeah, we know this, this, and this. Most coaches will say that. Lincoln Riley, who is incredibly circumspect with the media, doesn't give up anything, will even say, oh, we need to look at this in the transfer portal. Like, these are priorities. And Deshaun Foster, Akaika Malloy, both kind of at least putting saying it about one position. That's such a nice thing. It's so nice to just know that, you know, they recognize it. They're trying to address it. That's good. Even if they don't land it, now you can say, well, at least they recognize the issue. They weren't able to get it because X, Y, and Z, but they recognize the issue.
Yeah, I mean, just talking about that just gives me the heebie and the jeebie.
And the answer was always, oh, we just look at everything. It's like, oh, okay, you've got Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Are you looking at like 7 quarterbacks? No, you're not, because you're set at that position. Could you just talk specifically about something ever? No? No? Okay, cool. Not just your opinion on rules, but like, you know, something about the team that you're supposed to be coaching. Dude,
he did really well with projecting the future of college basketball.
Yeah, you know, TV studio, because that's all you want to do.
Yeah. Okay, let's stop.
Sorry, I'm getting angry about Chip Kelly again. Getting angry. Okay.
But overall, the next 2 weeks
are going to be fun.
I mean, this is double the fun with transfer portal, basketball and football.
Yep.
Basketball will be coming off of 2 official visits and looking for a post transfer, and football's looking for some key guys, which this is going to be fun.
It's going to be so much fun. And it's not going to be basketball, but football has some, they got some NIL to play with.
Basketball.
But it won't be, you know, they've got to just recruit on the strength of their smiles and charm. they got a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, Dave. Well,
for Tracy Pearson, I'm David Woods, Bruin Report Online, and we will talk to you all again next time.
See y'all later.
The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.